Welcome to the Dirt Shed Show this week with me, Martin Ashton.
And myself, Richard Payne.
Rich, you're looking old.
Nice to see you too.
You know, you've just come back from a bit of a back injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on there? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have like a big crash and got a back injury, did you?
No.
You just did end up getting a back injury. What I want to know today is, right, what's happening as we get essentially too old to mountain bike? Because a few months back, right, Neil put a video out about being 40 and mountain biking, right? Which, for one, I thought, he's young.
Okay.
You should try 50. But it's interesting, isn't it? What's happening to our bodies? Are they wearing out? Is mountain biking actually bad for our bodies? Like, let's be honest about it. We're promoting mountain biking all the time.
100%.
A lot of our viewers are, you know, young and sprightly, and it's not an issue. But some of the other ones, I'm not pointing at any of you, are more our age. Sorry. Your age, not...
Whoa!
Yeah, sorry, I put you in a bracket.
Whoa!
You didn't belong. Let's say...
My age still starts with a three.
Does it?
Yeah.
Only just, though, right?
Yeah, 39. Yeah,
right, okay, so more riders are your age. And is it actually any good for your body at this age and beyond?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Is it, though,
yes!
Rich? Because... Doesn't
I mean, I'm not a great advert at the moment.
Doesn't your bad back, doesn't that suggest you're not?
The surgery would say otherwise.
Doing well on it, yeah. Right, so I wanted to get to the bottom of that. So do you know what I did?
Go on.
I went and found myself a professor to tell me all about it. What is going on as we get older, and is mountain biking actually any good for us, right? So I spoke to Professor Lee Breen, right, who is a world-renowned expert in musculature and skeletulature.
Crushed it.
I can't say that last word very well. Stuff, right? I don't need to say any more than that. And I had a chat with him on the phone, and this is what Professor Lee Breen told me. Lee, thanks for joining us. I've got some very basic questions. So this is probably going to be an easy test for you, but basically, is it all downhill from 29? Oh, is it over once we get into our 30s? Are our muscles just giving up?
Yeah, well, for both of our sakes, I hope that's not the case, and I don't believe that's the case from a scientific perspective as well. So from the fourth decade onwards, it's possible to detect gradual losses of muscle mass, strength, and power. So this is a disease condition, recognized disease condition. It's called sarcopenia, which means a poverty or a wasting of the flesh. So our muscles gradually get smaller over time. These are quite sort of subtle and small changes. They don't occur at a really rapid rate, so people don't tend to notice it, in a relatively short space of time. Our muscle strength and power seems to decline at a slightly quicker rate than the muscle mass itself. And that's probably because the amount of power and force our muscles can generate is not only dependent on the size of the muscle, but also our central nervous system and effectively the brain-muscle connection. And as that deteriorates, it leads to generally greater rates of force and strength. There's a lot we can do about it, though, so it's not necessarily all downhill, I don't think. So the rate at which this decline occurs can vary greatly. If we are physically active and preferably engaged in some form of structured exercise training or competition, so that could be aerobic exercise, team sports or strength resistance exercise training, and we have a diet that's enriched in protein, we can do an awful lot to slow the progression of this sarcopenia over time. What we ultimately want to do is try to avoid reaching a diagnosis of sarcopenia in our 60s and 70s. So when levels of muscle mass, strength and power in your arms and legs go so low, you can reach a threshold for a diagnosis. And that's problematic because it can be difficult to come back from that. And it also increases the risk of almost every disease condition, non-communicable disease condition you can think of, which is obviously a very expensive problem for society to try and solve.
Yeah, right. So would sarcopenia also be what's happening when we just feel like kind of, you know, as we get older and you think about a morning where you're going to go out on your mountain bike and you just feel like stiff and more rigid than you used to, like your body doesn't want to bend as much? Is that all still part of the same problem?
Yeah, well, again, I start to feel those things as well now over time. So, yeah, it's all part of the problem. So it's sarcopenia is likely to be part of the explanation for those feelings of kind of lethargy and stiffness and aching that you might feel. So not only do the muscles get smaller and are they less able to produce force and power, actually there's something like the collagen content of those muscles, so how much collagen we have within there, also changes. They become more fibrous over and collagen, and so over time that can make us feel kind of stiffness and less flexible and able to kind of, you know, spring into action, I guess you might say. Alongside that, there's also a condition called osteopenia, which is the deterioration of the skeletal system as well. So it's not just the muscles, but we have to also think about deterioration in the tendons, ligaments, cartilage, bones. So all of these systems are interconnected and can effectively communicate with one another.
What about something like our hearts? Because I've always imagined mountain biking must be great for our hearts. Is that something we need to think about? Is it always just good to keep pushing ourselves in that sense, or does the heart become crappy over time as well?
I mean, to some extent, you know, deterioration in cardiac heart health is it's somewhat inevitable. But again, you know, a bit like sarcopenia and osteopenia, that there's a lot we can do to protect cardiac health over time. So, you know, again, I think the foundation of this is to be engaged in a physically active lifestyle. So that's just being able to, you know, to move around and try and hit your, you know, your 10 or 12,000 steps a day, whatever it is you deem to be sort of, you know, sufficient. You know, participating in the recommended amounts of higher intensity physical activity across any time in the week will give you that added level of protection against all of the conditions we've just spoken about so far. So yes, to some degree, heart deterioration, you know, muscles, tendons, ligaments, bones, all of those things will, deterioration is somewhat inevitable, but there's a lot we can do to protect. I think that the best way to think about it is almost as if you're in your younger years, you know, perhaps up to the age of kind of 50, everything you do is sort of building this kind of, you know, physiological, you know, strength bank account. You want to be as far in the black as you can and avoid being in the red. So what I mean by that is you, in your earlier years, you can build up a resilience to the things that will occur in later life. So somebody who's engaged in high levels of physical activity can effectively buy back years of health and function. So, you know, one of your, you know, you could have a rider who's, you know, still doing it in their 60s and 70s, whose physiology actually looks comparable to somebody who might be 30 but live a sedentary lifestyle. So you can buy back years of function. But at the same time, that 60 or 70-year-old rider will not be the same as they were when they were 30. Point is they had a higher starting point from which they deteriorated. So they've effectively, you know, bolstered that bank account and they've afforded themselves a degree of loss, I would say.
I love that way of thinking about it. I've never thought about that we're all building up a little bit of a bank account for our future lives. So that's actually, do you know what? That's great news. We should probably, I thought you were going to cancel mountain biking for me for a moment, but it sounds like I've been doing the right thing all along.
I think when you encounter, you know, injuries with, you know, mountain biking with advancing age, I think it can be a little more difficult to come back from those things, you know. I think we've become aware that when you are injured, we know that your physiology, and that includes muscle mass, strength and function, we know those parameters will decline quite rapidly. Actually much quicker than the effects of aging itself. So when you're immobilized, or you're, you know, perhaps you're in a cast, or you're asked to rest up and not be too mobile for a period of time, we know that these systems deteriorate really quickly. Yeah. And that can be the difference, you know, between, you know, somebody might get back on the bike again a few weeks later, or, you know, a couple of months after having a cast removed and noticeably feel much weaker. So all of a sudden, something that you don't necessarily notice happening over a period of years after an injury, we know that it can happen quite quickly. And the issue we've got to try and get over is that with advancing age, it appears that it's more difficult to get back to where you were in physiology terms after an injury. So restoring muscle mass, strength and power after you've been immobilized and injured for a while gets harder to do as you get older.
Effectively means when you've had an injury, like for instance a broken arm or something, or the other limbs moving, working during that recovery period so that you don't lose that advantage you've built up, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. With the immobilized limb, there's obviously not an awful lot you can do. I mean, there are, you know, people are developing ways and means to try and stimulate muscles, tendons, ligaments indirectly. When, for example, you might be in a cast, those therapies are not necessarily the easiest things for the average person to access them. But yes, you know, you can exercise the other limbs, and if you do that, you can maintain some level of kind of neural input. So again, this brain muscle connection might be quite well supported if you remain physically active and you try and complete other forms of exercise, and that could slow the deterioration and effectively leave you in a better position when you're able to get back in and resume exercise.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lee. Thanks for joining us on the Dirt Shed Show. It was great to hear that mountain biking might be gaining us those days, like you mentioned earlier. It's a good way for us to think about it. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
He's a clever guy.
He's a clever guy. And he didn't really say mountain biking was bad for you.
Agreed.
It can be, obviously, through injury. That was clear. But if you can get moving quickly after that injury, mm-hmm. as you will know right now, trying to get back 100%. On it in rehab, then you've got a way better chance. The longer you stay essentially immobile after injury, the harder it is to recover.
Yep.
And it's harder to do that the older you get. But if you start riding and continue to do it, we're doing the right thing. We can continue to promote mountain biking.
Thank goodness. I thought I was going to have to quit after this show.
Yeah, I did. I'm actually quite relieved. Thank you, Professor Lee Breen. Lovely to have you on the show. I think we're going to do some more videos with him, actually, because he seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Can I borrow you, sir?
Yeah. Let's head over to someone else now who does know what they're talking about. It's Tom with the news.
What's up, everyone? A bit more calm and collected this week as mountain bike news hits a lull post Sea Otter. Still a couple more products for you though. First up, the Crank Brothers Trail Speed Lace Shoes. Two new shoes from Crank Brothers built around those existing mallet and stamp platforms, but this time incorporating a speed lace system. Gum soles everywhere, dark green or sand colours available. The stamp will retail at £160 UK and the mallet at £180, both models £40 cheaper than their top of the line Boa counterparts. Bluegrass have added a range of camo edition colours to their helmet models. The Vanguard Core, Jetro, Rogue Core and Legit Mips all get the treatment. And they've got new shorts too, the Aura and the Arto. We've actually got the Artos for a bit of show and tell here. These are covered in protection, no chamois on these, just the EVA foam inserts strategically placed in order to protect you in the event of a crash. The Aura short does contain a liner, but also has some hip protection in there too. Both shorts employ breathable materials and silicone grippers everywhere. €120 for the Aura, €100 for the Arto. Clothing company Liat are coming to the table with a ceramic-coated magnesium alloy range of components. Their Saramag line consists of either clipless or flat pedals and a stem. Since you're likely only fussed about magnesium components for weight reasons, the flats are an impressive 248 grams per pair, the clips 298 grams per pair, and the stems about 100 grams depending on length. And yes, that is titanium hardware on all of those, so let's not go into the price. There is, however, a Saramag collection with steel hardware, all in grey colour or aluminium versions available, which come in silver, bronze or black. Melon Optics have released their Vantage Photochromic Lens Collection. I actually got to try these at a race last year. Shout out Ben from Melon. Essentially, how they work is the lens will get darker if there is more light, and lighter when there is less. There's also light filtering to give you good balanced colour perception, and a mirror coating, so they never fade to fully clear. The lens will always keep its colour. They're available for pre-order now on a range of classes. Check out the website for more info. Camelback have released the HAWG20, which is the first backpack to have built-in Reco technology. It's made from recycled Cordura with a DWR treatment, waterproof zips, and 9 storage compartments. It's of course fully adjustable to a range of torso shapes and sizes, can accommodate an impact protector and a 3-litre Crux reservoir, and it comes in black or sand colours. But including that Reco panel in there ultimately makes it much easier for rescue professionals to find you in the event that something goes wrong out there. Canyon are launching updates to the Spectral AL. 150 front, 140 rear, mixed wheel or full 29er, essentially taking the Spectral CF and cooking it down to the essentials to get the same geometry and suspension platform, which results in a very similar all-rounder, playful feel to the ride at a cheaper price point. There are three builds, starting at the AL5 with Shimano Dior and RockShox Lyric for €2,299. The AL6 mid-tier is €2,999 and gets you a Performance 36 fork and Shimano SLX, whilst the top of the tree, the Fabio Widmer edition, will set you back €3,999, but comes equipped with RockShox Ultimate suspension, SRAM AXS and tricked out paintwork. Some sad news to end out on. After showing new bikes at Sea Otter just a week ago and releasing their first ever e-bike, Revel Bikes are shutting down, stating that they've run out of financial runway amid industry pressures with $8 million worth of debt. Sounds like warranty support will end, so it's tough for Revel owners out there, but you've also got to remember the people behind the brand. It's got to be tough for them too right now. We hope everyone out of a job lands on their feet. All right, that's my time this week. Let's crack on with the show.
Hacks and
Bodges! Nailed it! That's the best one I think has ever been.
Pretty wild, that.
My God, we've got a crew and singing coming up.
No, we don't.
Let's do some Hacks and Bodges now. First one from James England. A bag.
Yeah, a bag. Yeah.
This is the simplest. I put this one in first because it's the simplest of Hacks and Bodges. It's the essentially the trusty zip tie comes to the rescue.
Fixes everything.
Yeah, again.
It literally fixes everything.
There's no chance that James is going to win this week, but I just wanted to remind the world of the zip tie. If you're going out mountain biking, please find somewhere for some zip ties on your bike. You won't regret it. That's all I wanted to say.
It's pretty good. There isn't much confidence.
No. Next up, we've got David Gutierrez.
This is a good one, actually.
Yeah, it is, actually. Keychain ring provides quick fix for broken shoe. Yeah. An Etnies culvert. I like the fact that he's named and shamed the brand.
Oh,
ankle support and strap buckle. Yeah. Great.
I mean, that's a good. That is a good bodge, isn't it?
It's a good example of like sometimes just like a problem just needs a very simple solution. Yeah. So when something's gone wrong, rather than panic when you're out on the trail, rather than like, oh my God, we're never going to make it back, think, hang on a second. First principles. What could I do to solve this? What does this problem actually need? And it might be something as simple as a little ring. The only problem is if you haven't got that ring. Luckily.
A zip tie would have worked.
A zip tie would have worked. And yet again, I drill the zip tie into your mind.
Yeah, this next one then is from Alan Harper. And this is a bit...
See, you do that with a zip tie.
Yeah, this one is not a zip tie. A homemade bash guard for his e-bike, by the looks of it. So after breaking my motor guard three times, I thought, why plastic? Of course, it's going to keep breaking. So he came up with this one. Padding on the locations that touches the frame so it doesn't scratch. Vice, hammer. She ain't pretty. But after a few rocks, it don't matter.
To say that James has won this week by a country mile would be an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't pretty.
I mean, basically, he was up against a zip tie and a key ring. And a key ring. But that is a great bit of metal folding.
Congratulations.
Good job.
What's he
well
won?
Done. He has won yourself. Alan has won himself a GMBN race top. Congratulations. Get in touch on email and we will get that sent out to you. Just me clapping. Just me on my own. Right, some things we liked this week. I'm just going to focus on this, actually, because of our message at the start of the show.
Yeah.
Mountain biking, good for you as you age.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm putting a very positive spin on it now, but it's not bad for you. That's been proven.
No. That's proven.
But it's this guy, Richard Atkin. Basically, he's got his own social media platform. He's got his own platform.
Wow, this guy's invested.
He's got his
incredible.
Own
incredible
social media page where he's promoting his riding again in trials at 40 and beyond.
Brilliant.
So it's a really... But hey, check out some of his riding.
All right, let's watch this one.
Richard is decent.
Thanks, mate.
No, this Richard. Look at this gap. Brilliant.
Yeah, he was obviously very good before, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but obviously he's come back to it. He's got some great bikes set up. He's got a massive hop on him.
Oh, calm down.
I'm such a geek, I was trying to count the bricks then, because as a trail driver, you start to work out how many bricks you can hop.
Lame!
That is pretty lame. But Richard is not. Great little post to follow there. Got some great sponsorship from Story Bikes. Doing a lovely
job.
I would
follow, but I'm busy.
And follow.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Rich Atkin riding trials into his 40s. Great example.
Now I'm going to look really rude if I unfollow, and I don't follow any trial stuff.
And what would be worse is if Richard knew that you'd followed him. Oh, wait. Right, let's have a go at the caption contest. Caption contest. Now, full disclosure, this isn't now.
What?
Yes.
How?
This, what we're doing now, isn't now, it was then.
Now you tell me.
So, all we can do at this point is face that fact and give you this caption contest photo where you can play caption contest for next week, which when we get there, will be then, but when you watch it, it won't.
Am I real? What is time? Where are we?
You just can't answer these questions, but give us a caption for that. Look at that. Amazing. Mountain biking moment. Captions in the comment section down below, and you could be winning yourself a mug.
So, Martin, coming up on the channel this week, what have we got?
Stoic versus Spectral.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun!
I'm actually looking forward to this.
Which one do you think you would be of the two?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually. I think I really like the Spectral. I think that's a great bike.
So you're like a little traily, short travel, full sus bike?
Yeah, I like it. It's good. It's good.
Not more of a hardtail?
I am essentially a hardtail, but... And back in the day when I was not a hardtail, I liked a hardtail.
No, rigid. We've had this discussion. You had no suspension. That's a rigid bike.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, but I did have some trials bikes with front suspension. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Stoic versus Spectral.
You're gutted because you wanted to do that video.
A little bit. Blake
got to do it while you were away. You're grumpy about it.
I know, and I still can't do that for another month.
Some great vids coming up on the channel this week. Do not miss out. Now, we've got to get going because we're running out of time. So let's do a bike vault.
Bike vault time.
Let's do it. First bike, Apollo.
Apollo
from Keith Westwood.
Westwood!
I would love to have seen him bunny up that gate. That would have been super nice.
Okay, what about the bike?
It's got super nice now.
Hey, fair news. Well done. Nice.
Next up, we have got... Hang on, that's Keith Westwood again. How many bikes has Keith got?
Keith?
God, that's sneaky, that is.
He is.
Yeah. Well done, Keith.
Custom painted propane tyre. It's nice that, though, isn't it? I like that.
Yeah. Let's give that. Well, that is a super.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, okay. Well done, Keith.
Keith, no more.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Got good timing. He's got good timing, Keith.
This is Jimmy's nuke-proof Giga. I used to love this bike.
Yeah, that's super nice.
This is a flipping good bike.
That's super nice.
Yes. Give it a shake.
Somewhere sunny in the UK.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Next up, another sunny day in the UK.
Crazy Skater.
What are you thinking on that mud guard, Rich?
No, I didn't see that until you said it. But I do like the view. And I like the yellow grips and yellow pedals. They tie in with the yellow decal on the
front. It seems really harsh to not give a GT a super nice these days. Super. Well done, well done. Next up, we have got Kieran Finn, who has sent us in his Vitus.
Vitus, yeah. Vitus or Vitus? We always do this.
I go back and forth. I love the bluebells.
Sentia, 27.5, out doing photography of spring bluebells at his local woods, he says.
Oh.
It's got to be a super nice, isn't it?
Super nice.
What's under the saddle? Something under the saddle. Yeah, I quite like that. Yeah.
Well done. Next up, we've got... Oh, look at this.
Love a trig point shot. But I am a little bit concerned. Do you know why?
Go on.
It's the frame just leaning on the stone like that.
Oh, no. I hadn't noticed that.
Come on. Oh, that's Chris Owen.
That's a guaranteed scratch.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. We almost feel like we need to give him a super nice but take it away for being naughty. Like a rewind.
No, it's a tyre, but it's a Sonder tyre as well. It's really nice. It's a super, go on, super nice it.
And then we'll rewind.
Yeah.
Super nice and... Yeah, that was lame. Next up, we have got Matthew Wallace.
Yeah, talking of lame things.
Hang on a minute. He's
Come
on a
on.
Serious bike pack trip here. And we're on our bike packing t-shirts.
Well, all right, good plug.
Yeah, so...
But...
Super nice. Super nice for the bike packing t-shirts. Okay, a mix.
Why not? Yeah.
Go on.
I mean, he is in Vancouver on a flat bar gravel rigid mountain bike of happiness.
It's fun when we get silly bikes like that, but let's go back to a proper mountain bike.
All right.
Whoa!
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
What the dickens?
Aaron Miolis, what have you done?
Yeah, tell us. Why? So this is a Felt DD30 fat bike, a surly corner bars. I hate it. I hate it so much,
I love it.
No!
Yeah,
I do. All this needs is all the bags from the other one.
It looks so fun to ride.
Does it, though?
Yeah, you ride along on that and you would definitely smile.
I mean, he's bringing the front mech back.
It's horrible. Well done,
Aaron.
Are
we super nicing or nicing?
Oh, yeah, there's a super nice. Super nice because it's just all sorts of weird. I liked it.
I tell you what, there's a theme. Thank you very much, firstly, to everyone for sending them in. Next week's theme is weird bikes.
Weird.
We want to see the weirdest mountainy type bikes you've got. Send them into the uploader down below. And
yeah, and if you haven't got a weird bike, put something weird
near it.
Yeah,
make it weird.
And put something weird near it.
Yeah, or do a weird pose or something.
We don't do people, do we?
We don't do people or poses.
So. That would be strange. And we could get
arrested. No, but a bike in a weird pose.
Yes.
Don't want that one.
Make it weird. Yeah. Do your best. Send it into the uploader. And, yeah, we'll do all this again next week. Thanks for watching. Say goodbye, Richard.
Goodbye, Richard.
Bye.